Glad you ventured out on this cold morning. We're continuing our series in Galatians. We're still talking about how the cross of Jesus Christ ends the law. Last week, Paul made a statement in his rebuke to Peter that if righteousness came by the law, then Christ died for no reason. So today, we're going to listen to a rebuke that Paul has for this church at Galatia. Our text is out of Galatians 3, verses 1 through 9. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, In you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. I thank you, Father, that your word always accomplishes what you set it out to do. I pray today that you will open our eyes as we hear this text. Father, that you will speak to each one of us individually, heart to heart, and show us where we stand with you in this issue. I thank you for your protection. I ask that you bind any spirit here that may be wanting to cause disruption or dissection. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, in this epistle in Romans, and I'm sure Paul didn't mean for it to happen, but the doctrine of antinomianism came out in the early church, which means against the law. And you've heard it said today by some Christians, since I had nothing to do with my salvation, I can't lose that salvation. I can't do anything to lose the salvation. Some go to the extreme and say, I can live any way I want as long as I believe in Jesus. Then I know I'm going to heaven. I had a friend of mine tell me that before he was saved, he was riding John 3:16 to hell. He said, you know, I had Christians tell me, well, the Bible said, Jesus said that God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish. He said, I believed in him. And that was my argument to the Christians. Yeah, I didn't go to church like they did. I drank beer and run around, done a lot of stupid things, but I believed in Jesus. Well, extremism begets extremism. I learned that in Bible college. And Paul is dealing here with a group of Jews that have left the church at Jerusalem and started telling the Gentiles, you've got to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses, then you can be saved. In other words, you have to become a Jew first, then you can become a Christian. And there's churches to this day that teach that. They may not come right out and say it, but that's the implication. Now today, Pastor Paul is going to invoke his right as their pastor to rebuke them, but he's also going to encourage them, and he's going to try to teach them from the Word about the history of God's relationship to the sinner and what God has set forth as the remedy, not what man sets forth. The theologian Karl Barth said, religion is man's attempt to get to God. I think that's a good definition. He said, Christianity is God's attempt to get to man. I like that definition. So Paul begins with a rebuke. He says, foolish Galatians. That word there means unstable in character. So Paul says there's an instability with some of you in the church. Now, not every Galatian man had agreed to this doctrine, to this circumcision. But Paul is worried that if this goes on in the church, that pretty soon the whole church will be carried away with it. Remember, we read last week how Paul rebuked Peter in front of the whole church at Antioch. And it said, he said Peter was to be blamed. And one commentary I read of the Greek said, Paul said Peter needed to be rebuked. And he needed to be rebuked in front of the whole church because Peter was starting a division in the church. He didn't mean to, but that's what was going on. Well, now Paul, he's not pulling any punches in this epistle. I can imagine that the Galatian brothers just said, that sounds good to me. I need to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses. I could see them bristle up. Generally what happened is when the epistle came into the church, one of the elders got up and read it before the whole church. So here an elder stands up and says, you foolish Galatians. Ooh. You can see them guys bristle up. Who's he calling a fool? The word there, the Greek word, means unstable in character. Earlier Paul said in his letter, I can't believe you're deserting Christ. That's how Paul looked at it. That's how the Holy Spirit saw it. He said, you're deserting Jesus Christ. So he says, you are unstable in your character. You started out following Jesus, but he says, now somebody has bewitched you. They've cast a spell on you. One commentary said, through prating. Prating means to talk on and on and on and not really making any sense, but you just talk enough that you wear somebody down. And Paul said, somebody has come to you and talked long enough and hard enough and wore some of you down to where you just say, well, that sounds good to me. That sounds right. I can see your point where we need to be circumcised and abstain from certain foods and celebrate certain Jewish holy days. Because after all, the Jews are God's people. And if we're going to be God's people, we got to be Jews first and then Christians. Paul said, who cast a spell on you? You see, Paul spit saying this because this was not the gospel he preached. He preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what he said to the Corinthian church. He said, I determined to know nothing when I was among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Apostle Paul certainly had the intellectual wisdom, a training as a theologian in the law of Moses. He could have brought them a lot of fine-sounding arguments and eloquent speech. But Paul was determined to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit, not with eloquence of speech. Paul was not trying to impress them with his doctorate, with the degree that he held. Paul said, I wanted to tell you about nothing but Jesus Christ. And he said, that's what I did. In fact, he said, I preached Jesus so plainly to you, it's as if a portrait was painted. Paul said, as I preached the Christ to you, it was as if you were looking at the cross. You saw Him die for you. You saw Him walk out of that tomb. You see Him seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. You knew that He died for your sins. Paul said you were convinced of that. Stop and think about something for a minute, Christian. Those of you who have actually came to Christ, do you remember how it was when you came to Christ? How for the first time in your life you saw the truth? And all of a sudden the preacher wasn't talking to a whole group. He was talking directly to you. It was as if God had you one-on-one in a room with Him and was telling you about the great price He paid for your salvation and the fact that you are an ungodly sinner deserving eternal death, eternal punishment, but He offered you salvation. I remember how I felt. I remember it was like the Bible says a great curtain was pulled away and I could see myself the way God saw me. And I saw that offer of salvation. I realized that those nails in His hands and feet, that I put them there. I realized that that holy blood of His, as it ran onto the ground, it was my fault it was on the ground. I realized when I saw my sins on the Christ that it was my fault that He was on that cross. It was my sins that He bore, and I needed a Savior. And I cried out to God and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, have mercy on the church today that preaches this feel-good gospel. You don't need to repent. God likes you just like you are. He doesn't expect you to change. All He wants you to do is believe. Just believe. If you just believe, you will go to heaven. Well, my Bible says the demons believe in Jesus, but not one of them are going to heaven. Paul says to the church at Galatia, I preached the gospel so plainly to you that it was like I drew you a picture. And he said, you responded to that gospel. Think back about this. Those of you in here who have come to Jesus Christ, actually came to Him. Did you bring anything in your hands? Any gifts? Anything you thought that He might require you to bring in order for Him to save you? I didn't. When I fell on my knees in that living room in Odin, Missouri, I had a pack of Marlboro in one pocket, what was left of a 12-pack beer sitting over here, and a bag of Sense and Mule in my pocket. And you know what? God didn't say, oh, if you get rid of that pot and that beer, I might talk to you. But I've heard Christians say that. You want to become a Christian? Well, if you put them nasty old cigarettes down. If you start wearing your dresses down to here and roll your sleeves down and don't expose all that sinful flesh. If you'd stop cussing, if you'd quit drinking, maybe then God would listen to you. That's a bunch of hogwash, church. God didn't say, Rick, you've had a few beers, I don't want to talk to you. Wait till you sober up and come talk to me. I was sober as I could be. He didn't say, you got pot in your pocket, go throw that pot down the toilet and then maybe we'll talk. God heard me right there where I was. And He took me just as I was. Now later on, the Holy Spirit said, you need to quit smoking that marijuana and drinking that beer and smoking them cigarettes and chewing tobacco, and you need to quit cussing, you know. You need to dress modestly. When I got saved, I didn't have this. I weighed 198 pounds, and it was mostly with my chest and shoulders. I was a construction worker. I'd peel my shirt off on the job and say, look upon me. You know, I had that male ego, look upon me. My wife said when she met me, one of the things that attracted her about to me was I was built like Clint Eastwood. I said, yeah, now I'm built like Jackie Gleason, Clint Eastwood, and a few others. But I had that ego. And I remember after I got saved, I was working construction. One day on the job, I started to peel my shirt off, and I heard this voice in me say, do you really need to do that? It's hot. Yeah, but should you really have your shirt off in front of all these people? I'd never gave that two thoughts before, and I thought, well, okay, yeah. That's a little immodest. See, the Holy Spirit did that. You know what happened? Some Christian would come and say, do you think you need to keep your shirt off? I'd say, do you want all your teeth? You mind your business and I'll mind mine. That's the quickest way you can turn people off, church. Well, I come home last Sunday and my husband was watching that football game and I slapped that cigar out of his mouth and kicked his can of beer over and said, you dirty, rotten, filthy sinner, Jesus loves you and you need to come to church. And I don't know why he won't come to church with me. You know, I just don't understand why he won't accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's judgmentalism. Were you telling me that I ought to say anything to my husband about his drinking? No, that's not what I'm saying. But that's not going to win him. Here's a little advice, ladies. Men are harder to win over, I think. Peter said if they won't be won over with the Word, win them without the Word. Don't beat them in the head with the Bible. Live a godly life in front of your man. And he can look at that and say, you know, there's just not anything I can say about that or against that. So Paul came in here and he preached the gospel to these people. He said, you were convinced. He said, somebody's tricked you. Now, I put in here an example of the gospel. Right out of the Bible, Peter preaching to these Gentiles. If you're familiar with this story, Peter's in a town called Joppa. He's staying at a guy's house named Simon, who's a tanner. And Peter was hungry, and while they were making lunch, he said he went up on the roof to pray, and he fell into a trance. And he saw a vision come out of heaven, and he said it looked like a great sheet let down by four corners, and all kinds of unclean animals and reptiles were on that sheet. Everything the Jewish law forbid him to eat. And he said he heard a voice say, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. Nothing uncommon or unclean has ever entered my mouth. He was a good Jew. Peter could say without a guilty conscience, Lord, you know me better than that. You said don't eat that stuff. I've never even touched it. And God said, what I've cleansed, don't you call common or unclean. Happened three times. Three men showed up. We're looking for Simon Peter. The Holy Spirit said, Peter, go with them because I have sent them. There's a Roman centurion named Cornelius. The Bible says he was a God-fearing man. The Jews called him God-fearers. He believed in the Hebrew God, and he gave a lot of alms. He did a lot of good things. And he was praying one day, and an angel appeared to him and said, Cornelius, your alms and your memorial, your deeds have come up before God as a memorial. He said, now send to Joppa for this guy named Simon Peter, and he'll tell you what you need to do to be saved. See, Cornelius had the works. He had the right mindset. He believed in God. He believed that God said to feed the hungry and take care of people, and he was doing that, but he wasn't saved. The angel of God appeared to him. God said, go tell him to go send for Peter, and he'll tell him the words that he needs to be saved by. He'll tell him the gospel, and this is how he comes to me. God remembered his good works. God was impressed with his good works. God said to the angel, I want you to go talk to that guy because he's seeking me. He's really looking for me. Now he's going to find me. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these peoples who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. And the Scripture says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Did you hear that little sermonette that Peter preached to these Gentiles? He didn't talk about the way they dressed. He didn't talk about where they hung out with or who they hung out with. All he preached to them was Jesus Christ and him crucified and him raised. Now, when I was in the Pentecostal church, I was told, this is one of the passages they use, that all believers, if you receive the Spirit, you will speak in tongues. Well, you can't take a single instance and generalize that. You can, but you're not really smart if you do. How did Peter know they were praising God if they were speaking in tongues, spiritual languages? My opinion is they were speaking in Aramaic. They were speaking a language that Peter and those Jews understood. Maybe they were speaking Hebrew. But it said they knew they were praising God. And later, we find out why God did it that way, because Peter had to go to the church at Jerusalem and explain himself. I was rereading that this morning. It said, those of the circumcision party. I never thought about that, but the church already had these cliques for me. And there was these Jews in the church that said, you've got to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses. That's what we believe. That's what we're going to teach and preach. Today they're called the Frozen Chosen. You know, these brothers and sisters, when they sing, I shall not be moved, they mean it. They will not be moved. You won't get me to volunteer to help out in the church. I'm not going to help with anything. I'm just going to sit here and judge everything that preacher says and tell him whether he's right or wrong. So this circumcision party, it said Peter showed up and they took him to tow. They called him to the carpet and said, what are you doing going in to eat with the Gentiles? And when Peter told his story, it said, then the church said, well, then God really has granted repentance to the Gentiles. What I want you to see there, Peter didn't preach doctrine. He preached Jesus Christ. Those people all of a sudden realized that's how they got saved. That's how they could come to God, through Jesus Christ. I want to give you a little hint. Anybody that talks to you and tells you that they're wanting you to join their group, or that if you can be baptized into this organization, you'll go to heaven, or you're going to be one of God's worthy servants, if they don't mention Jesus Christ, if they don't mention the blood of the cross, if they do not mention the fact that you're an ungodly sinner cut off from God, and there's only one way to come to Him, that's through Jesus Christ, then don't be afraid of anything they say to you. Don't worry about anything they present. Jesus Christ said in the volume of the book, I have come, it's been written about me, to do your will, O God. Jesus said to the Pharisees of His day, He said, you guys diligently study the Bible, but you won't come to me. And that's the book that you're studying that points to me, and you won't come to me so you can have life. I remember one time, I hadn't been saved but about a month or so, and I was up in the woods praying, up above where we live. And I sensed the Spirit of God saying, I want you to go to the house. Okay. I quit praying. I started down the house. And I've been praying saying, God, show me the truth. I want to know the truth. And I looked down the hill and there was this van load of Jehovah's Witnesses pulled up. I knew who they were because I'd seen that van before. And I said, that's truth? And the Lord said, just go down to the house. So I went down to the house, and I was a good host. They said, could we talk to you? And I said, yeah, come on in. And I said, I want to make a deal with you. I'll let you talk. And then when you're done, you let me talk. And they said, okay. So they talked on for 15 or 20 minutes. I sat and listened to everything they had to say. Then when the guy was done, I said, are you finished? He said, yes. I said, now, I didn't interrupt you. I listened to everything you had to say. He said, yes, you were very gracious. So I said, then show me the same courtesy. They said, we will. And I remember I looked at that guy and I said, you've really offended me. And I said, well, why? I said, you've been talking to me for 20 minutes about how to become a child of God, and not one time did I hear the name of Jesus Christ mentioned. Not one time did I hear you talk about the cross. Not one time did you tell me I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved. Oh, well, yeah, but we believe in Jesus. I said, but He's not the central figure of your doctrine. You told me I need to be baptized into the kingdom hall. That I needed to take your classes on evangelism, go out and knock on doors and tell people about Jehovah's kingdom. I said, you never mentioned the name of Jesus till I brought it up. Church, anyone, I don't care if they're a Baptist, that shares their testimony with you or tries to invite you somewhere, if it isn't all centralized around Jesus Christ, don't listen to them. You don't have to be the least bit afraid of them. Now, I'm not poking fun at the Baptist. Please don't take it that way. But I know how we read the book. Repent and be Baptist, for all have sinned and fallen short of the assemblies of God. That's how a lot of Christians read that Bible. The churches of Christ salute you. I always salute Brett Hickey back when he says that. You know, if I ever get to meet him, I want to salute him. Say, I'm saluting you back, Brett. Now, I'm not against Christian Church, Church of Christ, Methodist Church, Nazarene Church. I'm just saying that anybody that professes to be a Christian, if Jesus Christ is not the central figure of their life, something's wrong. I remember a lady in one Baptist church I was in said, I've been going to church for about a year, and I just woke up one morning and realized I was a child of God. I said, ooh, how'd that happen? There's only one way to get to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's only one gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. No one will get to God through any other person, any other name than Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul preached to the Galatian church. Then he had these people come in and said, now see, Paul was right. Jesus is where you start, but you've got to be circumcised and obey the law. You can't eat this. You can eat that. You need to come over here. You need to celebrate this holiday, this holy day. Paul told them later, you know why they told you that? Because they didn't want to suffer persecution because of the cross of Jesus Christ. He said they didn't want to suffer persecution. You know why some of the men in the Galatian church went along with that? Because they didn't want to be persecuted. It sounded good. You know why the church does it today? Because we don't want to have to fight and argue with people. Okay, let's go slack on our gospel. Let's go slack on the requirements of the gospel. The gospel simply says repent. That means change your mind. That means that you stop making excuses up for your sin and you start calling out to the one who can save you. That's what what it means. Repent. Change your mind. You line up with God's Word and say, I'm wrong. You're right. That's what repentance is. It says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't say that. The Bible says it. And today in the church, we fight over that more than we do anything else. Well, are you saved before you're baptized, or are you saved and baptized? Are you baptized and saved, or saved and baptized? Who cares? All that is a bunch of pride, ego on our part. Well, I believe you're saved and baptized. Well, I think you've got to be baptized to be saved. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. After that, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Why do we need to add to that? But we do. Come on, that's true. We add to it. I was talking to a young lady one time, went to revival. She said, I've been thinking about the Lord, and this church was having revival. And she walked in, and she had a tube top on and makeup. And said that she found out later it was the preacher's wife, met her at the back door of the church, said, you go home, wash that stuff off your face, put on a decent shirt, then come back. She didn't go back. She thought that was God. She thought God was saying, I don't want you. Look at you. That's what we do today in the church. Well, if that girl was really Christian, she wouldn't wear all that makeup. She wouldn't dress like that if she was really saved. I've been asked that question as a preacher. How much makeup should a Christian woman put on her face? It depends on her face. You know, that's my answer. It depends on her face. If the barn needs painted, you paint it, don't you? I mean, if a woman wants to wear makeup, that's her business. That's none of mine. That's not going to affect her relationship with Jesus Christ unless He's told her not to put so much on. Then that's what will affect it. We make up these rules in the church, and we start judging, especially baby Christians. I was a Christian for 15 years before I finally quit smoking for the first time. And I don't know how many well-meaning people I had tell me, well, now, if you're really a Christian, you'd give those cigarettes up. Because I got saved. I was smoking 3 packs a day, and God just delivered me that quick. Never touched another one. Praise the Lord. I was a little harder. You know, I fought a little harder. I resisted a little bit. But if you ask me now why I don't smoke, because the Holy Spirit told me I need to give it up. How come I don't drink? Because the Holy Spirit told me to give it up. Why don't I smoke weed? Because the Holy Spirit told me not to do that anymore. He said, that's a god, and I won't have any other gods before me. See, that's how the conviction of the Holy Spirit works. We're all individuals. We're not bananas. We don't come in a bunch. We're all individuals. Now, I'm not preaching antinomianism. I'm not saying that if you believe in Jesus, anything goes, and that's not what Paul was saying. But he had people coming in back here saying, the gospel of Jesus Christ ain't enough. You got to do this and this and this, then you'll be saved. My Bible says that God justifies the ungodly. That's me. When I came to Jesus Christ, I was about as ungodly as you can get, and God saved me. He didn't take me on my merits. I didn't have anything to offer. In fact, when I came to Him in salvation, I think for the first time actually in my life, I realized I didn't have anything that God needed or wanted. There was nothing appealing about me. You know, I used to work for a Baptist preacher who just took great pleasure in telling me how much of a sinner I was, and I was going to hell, and I said, I know it. You know, I never argued with him about that fact. I'd say, I agree with you. He said, though, you're an idiot that you don't want to come to the Lord then. I agree with that. I'm an idiot. Leave me alone. But when the Holy Spirit came upon me and said that, it was a whole different ballgame. I believed it. Don't ever underestimate the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christian. Don't ever underestimate your ability to share the gospel with other Christians. I hope when you're out there in the everyday world, and if somebody asks you about your faith, you don't say, well, now in the Christian church, this is what we believe. Because that's not what they're interested in. They could care less what the Christian church believes. They want to know, what has Jesus Christ done in your life? That's what people want to know. What has He done in your life? And if you can't name one thing, you need to go to the cross. In true humility, you need to come before Christ and say, Lord, I need a Savior.
I need to be redeemed.
Well, why'd they tell them they had to obey the law? Because they thought if we give them these set of rules to obey, it gives them a structure. It gives people a structure. That's why we do that. It gives people a structure. No, what it does is say, if the Holy Ghost ain't going to convict you, I will. Mark Twain said, the only thing less tolerable than a man that drinks is one that don't. And they have found out that a man that used to drink and quit drinking can become one of the most intolerable people of men that drink. And I think the reason of that is because if I got to quit, they got to quit. That's not fair, God. You told me I couldn't drink. How come these people are drinking? Because God hasn't said anything to them yet. That could be the very real reason. God has not convicted them yet. God changes you from the inside out. He knows what's going on in your heart. And He knows what priorities He has in your life and how He wants to affect that. We can do a lot of damage, church, when we start teaching doctrine to people in place of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, am I against doctrine? No, because Paul told Timothy, guard your life and doctrine closely. Doctrine in the Christian church, that's a dirty word. We don't think we have any doctrine. We're just people of the Word. Where the Word speaks, we speak, and where the Word's silent, we're silent. I've been with you all since 2003. Don't feed me that. I've talked with a bunch of you. You're more than happy to speak where the Word's silent. You're more than happy to be silent when the Word spoke. I'm including myself in that. I'm not picking on you this morning. Every church has doctrine. The Christian church is full of doctrine. Okay? That's not what we've been called to teach, is the doctrine of the church. We've been called to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Did you hear what Peter said to them Gentiles? The gospel of peace. That's what religion is. We're trying to get peace with God. Peter says, we get peace through Jesus Christ. And those Gentiles evidently believed it because they received the Holy Spirit. It amazed Peter. He kind of jumped back and said, whoa, I guess Jesus wasn't kidding when He told us to go preach to the Gentiles. We thought that was a suggestion. And here these Gentiles are filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter did the next practical thing. He said, well, we need to get these people into water and get them baptized. When he got back to the church, they said, what are you doing eating and drinking with Gentiles? He said, well, this is what happened. The church goes, wow, then God really has given salvation to Gentiles. So they started sending apostles out from the church at Jerusalem to teach the Gentiles. Only problem was that some of the other legalists come along behind them. He said, you didn't get quite all the story. So Paul's saying to these Galatians, who bewitched you? Who cast a spell on you? I preached the truth to you. You received the truth. Why is it, Christians, and I'm speaking in my own life, why is it we begin our walk with Christ by the Holy Spirit and we think we can better that? We do that. We're guilty of that, every one of us. When I came to Christ, as I said, I brought nothing in my hands. I'm a doper. I'm a drunk. You know, everything that's illegal, fattening, and immoral, that was me. And I don't have anything to offer but this broken life. And God said, I'll take it. And He began to do this work in my life. Where did I ever get off thinking that I had to help Him with that by start following this certain bunch of rules? You know, I had well-meaning Christian brothers in that church when I was early as a Christian tell me if I'd get my hair cut, I'd look more like a Christian. And I'd look up at the wall, that picture of Jesus they had, and there He had hair down to His shoulders. Wore sandals. At least I wore boots. I thought, you know, you guys would probably get on to Jesus if He come in here. And say, you know what, man, if you cut your hair, you look more like a Christian. What's a Christian look like? Well, I'm not sure, but you don't look like it. Be careful, Christian, that you don't drive people away from Jesus Christ. He didn't call you to preach the gospel. Every one of us in this building that is a Christian has been called to share our testimony, that and nothing else. Because, see, you'll never go wrong there if you can tell people, this is what Jesus Christ has done in my life. You know, this brother said he got delivered from 3 packs of cigarettes a day. The very minute he hit his knees, praise God, I did. And it took 15 years for the Holy Spirit to get through to me. But I'm kind of thick. My dad, you didn't have to amen that. You You know, my dad said, out of all my kids, you learned everything the hard way. And I found that true in my Christianity, my walk with Christ. I learned things a lot the hard way. And I'm so glad my God's patient and merciful. He's never looked at me and said, you just messed up too many times, Rick. You can't be my son anymore. So you remember Jesus said, if my word abides in you, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. You see, these Galatian Christians, they were veering off from what Paul had taught them, from what the Word taught, and they were getting into these doctrines they had no business being into. And they thought, this will add to it. Paul said to the Christians at Colossae, you know, abstaining from these things and the harsh treatment of your body, it makes you look like you're really trying to live for God, but he said it doesn't do anything to influence your heart. It doesn't do anything to change your heart. Martin Luther once had a bishop told him he was beating himself with a chain. They used to do that with chains and whips. And the bishop said, Brother Martin, you cannot drive out of the heart what is in the heart by beating your flesh. That's what Jesus Christ does. He's the one that cleanses the heart. You don't cleanse the heart by causing yourself to suffer and go without food and beating yourself. And very often in the church, we'll beat ourselves spiritually. We sin as Christians and we get to where we develop this tender conscience towards Christ if we're in fellowship with Him. And boy, Satan will grab that and he'll run with it. And he'll start condemning you and saying, you must not be a very good Christian. Boy, if the rest of the church knew you was doing this, that's when you run right to Jesus. Don't run away from Him. Run to Him. Don't make resolutions that you're never going to do it again. Bring it to the foot of the cross and leave it there. Just like you did when you got saved. Now, am I saying that there's no ethical code for Christians to live by? No, I'm not saying. It's all in here. You need to read this. You need to feed on it. You need to digest it. And more than anything else, you need to put it into practice. See, it's God who makes us holy. You better be holy, because the Bible says without holiness, no one will see the Lord. He's talking about imputed and imparted. Through the person of the Holy Spirit, He's been imparted. That's why Paul said, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the desires of your flesh. If you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, He'll tell you what's right and wrong. He'll tell you where to walk, where to abstain from. Paul says, are you so unstable as to believe that you have to finish in the flesh what God started in the Spirit? You know, I mentioned rocky soil earlier. Paul accused the Galatians of being unstable. And the metaphor that came to my mind when I was studying this was rocky soil. Jesus said there's people who received the Word of God immediately with joy. But He said when persecution or trials come because of the Word, little by little they're offended. They don't have any root in themselves. And when the pressure came on for some of these Christian men, when they said, you really need to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses, they gave in to that. It didn't say they didn't believe. They were believers in Jesus Christ. They'd been baptized into Christ. You know, they had made a proclamation that they wanted to be Christians. But remember, the church is going under some pretty intense persecution. And this group that Paul's talking to, they decided to ease up a little bit. You know, let's just ease up. I shared with you last week that even some of the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem were still observing the law to kind of keep the peace with the Orthodox Jews. No sense causing trouble. If you're a Jew and you want to do the things Jews do, go ahead. You know, that's your culture. That's your heritage. But don't you dare turn around and tell somebody else they have to be a Jew to be a Christian, because that's a bald-faced lie. Don't you dare tell somebody if you want to get saved, you need to quit smoking. That's a lie. When the Holy Spirit tells you to give it up, then you give it up. You struggle, you fight, you pray, but you lay it down. Paul encourages these people by reminding them that those who are of the faith are counted as Abraham's seed. See, that's what some of this Sabbath worship and that's all about. When you get down to the root of it, you don't worship on Saturday, you're not honoring the Sabbath. You're not keeping the law. I'm not under the law. I have read church flyers. Well, come celebrate Passover with us. Why? I'm not a Jew. I don't need to celebrate Passover. And if you tell me I have to be a Christian, you're a liar. And that's as plain as I can put it. You're a liar. Or you're ignorant. You just don't understand. Paul said, look, you don't have to become a child of Abraham through doing these rites and rituals. God's already counted you as part of the seed when you came to Him through Jesus Christ by faith, just like Abraham did. Because he said, God's the God who justifies the ungodly. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good description of me. And God justifies me because of my faith. Now, faith without works is dead. Oh, make up your mind, preacher. You just had me going there, man. Faith will produce works. Okay, we're not going to talk about that today. Paul is writing to these Christians that are very confused at the time, and they're trying to make a decision. And what I see Paul doing, what we'll see through the epistle, he's saying you pick one side or the other, and you get there and you stay there. That's what he's saying. He says to these men later on, to those of you who have agreed to circumcision and the law, you have fallen from grace, and Christ will be of no effect to you. He said, you have indebted yourself to keep the whole law. He said, you were doing well. Who cut in on you? Paul must have liked sports because the metaphor he uses is runners racing. And the pictures of one runner reaching over and swiping your feet out from under you when he gets up beside you and knocks you down. Paul said, who cut in on you like that? You were running a good race. Who knocked your feet out from under you? How sad. For them Christians to be sitting there and Pastor Paul said, you just fell from grace. You just handed yourself over to the burden of the law. Praise God, I serve a God who says, I justify the ungodly through faith in Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me this morning? Maybe if you're here today, maybe you're here and you've heard all your life that to be a Christian you got to give this up or that up and then you'll be saved. I want to tell you this morning that's not true. You need to repent. You need to turn your back on your past, on your past life. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. You got to believe that Jesus died for you. As we sing the song of invitation, if you need to make this decision, would you please come up here and settle on the front row, and I'll come down and visit with you.
But with Jesus, thank God.